What we're gonna do right here is go back, way back, back into time.
This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. Welcome to my neighborhood, the Avenue. I grew up here, and each week I'll be sharing the sounds and stories of the people that made the Avenue great. Welcome back to the Avenue. This is the first episode in our two-part series celebrating the music of the late Russell Webster, a legendary Naptown saxophonist and composer. We'll be joined by Russell's daughter, Benita Webster Coleman, and his wife, Lexi Webster. We'll also talk with musicians who were inspired by Russell's music, including Steve Ali and Justin S. Kinchin. Russell Webster is known by jazz fans and record collectors around the world for his self-produced 1983 double LP, Uncle Funkenstein. The album featured an all-star lineup of Naptown jazz musicians, including Larry Ridley, James Spalding, Bookie Johnson, Mel Rhine, Clifford Radcliffe, and others. Uncle Funkenstein has been called a holy grail of jazz. Original copies have sold for over $4,000, and in 2008, the album was reissued by the British label Jazzman Records. But there's much more to Russell Webster's story. He was born in Naptown in April of 1928. As a young man, he studied music at Crispus Attucks High School and the Jordan Conservatory. Russell began playing on the Avenue as a teenager in the 1940s. Throughout his long career, Russell played with the greatest stars of Naptown jazz, including Wes Montgomery, Freddie Hubbard, Jimmy Cole, Willis Kirk, Count Fisher, and many others. Join us for the next 2 weeks as we share rare and unreleased recordings from Russell Webster. We'll start this week's show with a classic track from Russell Webster's Uncle Funkenstein album. This is Blue Robe. That was the late Naptown jazz musician and composer Russell Webster with Blue Robe. WFYI's Kyle Long recently spoke with Russell's daughter, Benita Webster Coleman, and wife, Lexi Webster. Let's join their conversation as they discuss Russell Webster's early years.
Mom, you go first.
Okay, I'm Lexi Webster. And I'm the widow of Russell Webster, the musician and whistling postman. And that's who I am.
Thank you.
And I'm Bonnie Webster, his oldest daughter. And I loved going to hear my dad when he was in jazz groups that he'd never been with. So like jam sessions, and a lot of times he would be called when some big band like Mercer Ellington was here. He would be asked to play with them. And he even got asked to go on the ship with them as entertainment. Remember that?
Oh, well, yes. He was asked a lot of times. A lot of times he wouldn't go because of the family and his family obligations. And that kind of kept him away from a lot of places he could have gone.
So Russell, to the best of my knowledge, was born and raised in Indianapolis. Is that correct?
Yes,
that is correct.
What part of the city did he grow up in?
Oh, he grew up on the east side. And one thing about the east side, they say when he started to Addix, he would form a band on the bus on the way from his home to Christmas Addix High School. And they would play on the bus going to school every morning. Russell was fortunate enough to have gone to Arthur Jordan Conservatory of Music at an early age. And so he was really brought up with music.
Do you know what street he lived on?
Yeah, he lived on Sheldon Street, 24th and Sheldon.
So in Martindale, Brightwood area?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. Uh-huh. And you mentioned he went to Addix and the Arthur Jordan Conservatory. At that time, Addix had a very sophisticated music program, right?
Absolutely. They had, there was Merrifield and Russell Brown and Newsom. And they were all very good musicians.
Mrs. Webster, you told me you were a singer. Did you go to Addix as well?
I did go to Addix as well. And I didn't know Russell at the time, but I was in all of the choral groups, a cappella choir, girls concert choir, you name it, I was in all of them, glee club.
You mentioned that Russell was playing, he was forming bands on the bus on the way to school.
So yes.
Music was a part of his life from an early
age. It was a part of his life. He came from a family of musicians. His mother played the organ for some churches, and he knew how to play the piano. In fact, he played the piano for some of the groups when the piano player was missing. He would play for them.
When did he start venturing out into the nightclubs? I know he played on Indiana Avenue and all over the city in clubs. At what age did he start playing professionally?
Well, in the meantime, right after high school, he joined the Army. In fact, he joined his senior year of high school. And he went to the Army and stayed for 8 or 9 years. And when he came out of the Army, he reconnected with the bands that were on the Avenue and other places. In fact, I met him after he came out of the Army.
Let's take a break from our conversation and listen to a 1994 recording Russell Webster made with the Jimmy Cole Big Band. From the album Say What, this is Reunion Riff, composed by Russell Webster. That was the Jimmy Cole Big Band with Reunion Riff. That track was composed by Russell Webster and featured Russell on tenor sax. Let's return to our conversation with Russell's daughter, Bonita Webster Coleman, and wife, Lexi Webster, as they discuss Russell's work on the Avenue.
But I do remember him saying that when he was younger, he would, him and Pookie would put fake mustaches on so that they could play in like the Place to Play and those other kind of venues that were on the Avenue.
When that was probably during his high school years,
yeah.
And I'm not familiar with those years because I didn't know him at that time. But he said he played at those, like the Cotton Club.
Mm-hmm. Sunset Terrace.
And played Paradise or
yeah,
some,
Paradise.
Of those,
yeah.
Yeah. Some of those places down there that he played and with some of the big musicians.
You mentioned that when he came back to Indianapolis after the Army, he started going back into the clubs and connecting with local musicians.
Right.
I know over the years, he played with every prominent musician in the city. Do you know who some of the early musicians he was working
with? Certainly. When we got married, he would have gigs with Dudley Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And
Duval.
Larry Liggett, and there were any of the bands that were going on at that time to play for different places, they would call him to play with them. And he played, he even had a band of his own at one time to fill in the more entertaining people.
Bonnie, were you going to add something?
Oh, yeah. He did play with Jimmy Coe, mm-hmm. the Jimmy Coe Big Band.
Yes, he did play with Jimmy Coe's Big Band.
And he was like, he told me he was the first saxophonist because he got a lot of solos. I guess he felt like he was their star.
One of the stars.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And he did a lot of arranging for them as well.
Obviously, Indianapolis produced a lot of jazz stars that were part of Russell's generation,
right.
Maybe younger or older. And I've read that he played with Freddie Hubbard, Wes Montgomery. Do you know any of the details around his association with those musicians?
Only that he was friends with them and professional with all of the people that had to do with music. He was he played with most of them.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many of them, I can't think of the names of all of them that he played with, but he was a mentor to some of the younger ones coming through, too.
Let's pause and listen to another track from Russell Webster's 1983 album, Uncle Funkenstein. This is Third Bossa Nova. Stay tuned. Echoes of Indiana Avenue will return with more music from Russell Webster after this short break. This is Butch Slaughter, and you're listening to the Echoes of Indiana Avenue. This is the first episode in our two-part series celebrating the music of the late Russell Webster, a legendary jazz saxophonist and composer. Russell performed often on the Avenue and worked with the greatest musicians in Naptown. Up next, we'll listen to to a rare 1986 recording of Russell from the Ron Inyard and Paula Owen album, Red, Green, and Blues in Living Black and White. This is Stormy Monday, featuring Russell Webster on sax and Everett Green and Paula Owen on vocals.
But I thank God for Friday, 'cause Saturday I go out and I play. Yeah, I thank God for Friday, 'cause you know Saturday is my day to play. Early Sunday morning I go to church, I get down on my knees and I pray, and I'll say,
that was Paula Owen and Everett Green singing Stormy Monday, featuring Russell Webster on tenor sax. Let's return to our conversation with Russell Webster's daughter, Bonita Webster Coleman, and wife, Lexi Webster, as Lexi shares her memories of meeting Russell.
Mrs. Webster, when did you meet Russell? Were you hearing him out in the nightclubs, or did you meet him off the bandstand?
He had just came home from the Army and was living in the YMCA. And I was singing with the church choir. And we had a job to go to at the YMCA. That's when the YMCA was on West Street. And so I guess he just happened to, I don't know what it was, but I guess I might have, he just took a fancy to me. And he told, Russell Brown was the director of the choir I sang. And so he said, and so Russell knew Russell from high school. He said, there's a guy that wants to meet you, and he's kind of goofy, but I think you might like him, or something like that, to that effect. And because he would come to the choir rehearsal and find himself behind me and kind of have his music touch me some kind of way. You know, and I look out and wonder what was he doing. And but I guess he was trying to meet me. And so Mr. Brown introduced us to each other. And that's how I met him.
What did you think of him as a musician at that time?
Well, as a musician, I didn't know he was a musician when I first met him. Didn't know that he was at all. In fact, he didn't even say he was. He was, when he took me out a couple of times, he didn't mention being in, he was just trying to get to know me, I guess, and each other. And so he never mentioned that he was a musician. Until later on, he asked me to go where he was playing, and that's the first time I knew that he was a musician.
How did it strike you when you heard him play the saxophone?
Well, I thought he was very talented, and I just wondered why he never even brought that up. He told me he played in the Army band, but I just thought that was it, but I didn't know that he was really a serious musician.
Do you remember what club it was you went to go see him play in?
It was over there on the first time he took me out. I think it was, I can't remember the name of the place, but Buddy Parker played there. And I knew Buddy Parker before I knew Russell. Right. And so he, I think he took a set and played there. I don't remember the name of that place. It wasn't George's Bar, and it wasn't, I can't remember the name of those places, but it was on the avenue.
Let's pause and listen to another track from Russell Webster's 1986 session with Ron Inyard and Paula Owen. This is Paula's Tune.
Well, touch me now and know it's real. I'll give you all that you need to feel, and you'll never ever
That was Ron Inyard and Paula Owen with Paula's Tune, featuring Russell Webster on tenor sax. In addition to his work in music, Russell also had a long career with the United States Post Office. Let's return to our conversation with Lexi Webster and Bonita Webster Coleman as they discuss Russell's nickname, the Whistling Postman.
Mrs. Webster, you mentioned he was in the Army. He was also a postman for many years.
Yes.
Being a musician, as to make your living as a musician, can be hazardous sometimes. Did Russell ever work full-time as a musician, or did he always keep a steady day job?
No, not really. Just
the postman?
Postman to keep a roof over our head.
Sure, of course. He was smart, yeah. And tell me about his work as a postman. He was famous for whistling compositions on his mail route, and the Indy Star wrote about him, I know. Tell me about his work as a postman and his habit of whistling.
Yes, he did. He whistled when he was, everybody knew when their mail was coming, when he delivered it, because he would be whistling. And some liked it and some didn't, but anyway, some really knew when their mail was coming.
Well, I remember he used to whistle, and then when he came home, he would whistle and write the notes. So he was actually
composing as he was whistling.
Amazing. How long was he a postman?
25 years.
Wow.
25 years,
said,
I
yeah,
believe. Uh-huh.
Yeah, because he retired. He said that he needed to make a way for young kids. He had enough.
it's a lot of walking around, right?
Yeah,
because
it's not, they didn't get the mail trucks until like 2 or 3 years before he retired.
Yeah.
And he did the Meridian Kessler route.
And Jimmy Coe was also a postman at that same time.
That's, and so was
and
Pookie.
So was Pookie.
Uh-huh. That's incredible. What did they all kind of commiserate and decide to?
I think so, but to tell you the truth, I think Russell was the first postman.
Yeah. He recruited the other sax players.
Yeah, because I think Jimmy Coe had a steady job down at George's Bar or somewhere for years before. Some of it dissolved, and so I think he had to find other means because of family and all.
That's all the time we have for this week. Thank you for listening to the first episode of our two-part series celebrating the music of Russell Webster. Tune in next week for part two. We'll end this week's show with the title track from Russell Webster's 1983 album, Uncle Funkenstein. You can meet me here on the Avenue again next week, same time, same place. And you can find the Echoes of Indiana Avenue podcast on Spotify, iTunes, or wherever you download your podcast. Echoes of Indiana Avenue is written and produced by Kyle Long and hosted and co-produced by me, Herman Butch Slaughter.
Nobody knows on uptown, baby, like I do. Do. If you will stop and listen, I will tell you a thing or two.